Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us again this week for another edition of On Point. I am your host, A. Trey. And with me this week, my incredible friend, Dr. James Moore. And
good morning.
Wonderful. Client Sir Chris, how are you feeling today as well?
I'm good, brother. How you doing?
Mr. Feldman, I'm glad to have you guys here with me today. We, to everybody who had a rough week, I hope that your weekend is going to bring that to a close. It's behind you, so it's already done. And if you keep a sharper mind, you're ready to face whatever challenges or obstacles that may come up to you this week. And that means that you're a better person today. So pushing everything back then off you, welcome to On Point. This week, 49th edition, Concrete Jungle. Welcome to it. In our segment, State of Our Union, the United States has been a hotbed of the pejorative police activity, the interaction of police officers with the citizens of this country, and has in many cases been less than acceptable or palatable, as it were. Many folks have been mistreated, done injustice, and some have even lost their lives. And the question is, what can be done about this situation? How is it possible that we're denizens of this great country going to handle these numerous occurrences, these situations that seem to just occur? And can anything be done? So we're going to dedicate this segment to trying to find some answers, getting a perspective or two. And we'd love for you to join us today. Our number is 347-855-8662. We really would like to hear your voice today. I know a lot of you like to just listen, but call in and let us hear about what you think. It's no secret. I'll start it off. It's no secret. The Sandra Bland issue is one of the three latest issues that's been happening, and they keep uncovering information. It appears that our police, and to me, in my opinion, it appears that our police believe they are, because they are a small representative of the law, and I use the term loosely, they believe they're untouchable. They're above the law. So they do things that are clearly outside of the law. And people are paying the price for it, and it's becoming almost epidemic. You know what? They used to have these in Africa. They have these ants, Katumere ants, the big red army ants, huge, look like the size of beetles. And they go to the black African ant, which is much smaller. It's about the size of our red ant in Arizona, but it's much smaller than this. And they just keep jumping them. And every season, those ants, those black African ants, turn around with no racial context whatsoever. So you, the person that's listening very closely, this is not racial. They turn around and they demolish those enemies because they get tired of them raiding them. Do you think the same thing can be happening now? Do you think the same thing will happen now in our streets? I mean, people have a tolerance for up but so long. That's human. It's a thought. What are your thoughts, Jim?
I concur with you that it's not a racial issue. I think it boils down to a problem of a spiritual issue, number one. Number two, I do agree with you that it's inevitable that there probably will be some sort of a confrontation because, you know, people get tired of being bullied. And, you know, I hate to say that, but, you know, that's just the reality of it. You know, the police in this country and a lot of countries, you know, have been, like, you know, out of pocket, like, for quite some time now with no repercussions. And they hurt and kill people indiscriminately, and nobody does anything. But, you know, that's just my, you know, that's just my little, my opinion, though.
Well, and that matters. That matters. And I think,
you know,
that's something else. Yeah.
I just want to say that my perspective is this, and there's a lot of things going on. I think realistically we have to look at it from a systemic perspective that, you know, things have changed and something has made them think that it's okay to behave in this fashion. Me personally, I think if I was a police officer, and this by no means is negative or combative or pejorative to any police officers, there's a lot of folks out there who do great jobs, but
right.
As a police officer, knowing what's going on in the news, I think I would take a little extra caution just to be sure that there were no misunderstandings or that I didn't get caught up in some of the things that are going on by mistake. So basically what I'm saying is I had a friend.
That sounds like hiding.
Hiding? No, I'm not saying cops
like,
should hide. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is this. It's a similar scenario. Let's say you're dating a girl, something happens, she puts a restraining order on you. The last thing you're going to do is go hang out at her house and do something wrong. If anything, you might hang out at her house to make sure somebody else doesn't do something to her car so you don't get blamed for it. You follow me? What I'm saying is I think the perspectives have to change. And I think what's happened is, you know, when you see all this stuff going on, me as a police officer, I'd be like, hold up, let me make sure I have the context of the situation properly addressed so that there isn't a misunderstanding. And I say that because if you look at some of the things that happened, the most recent development was with Ray Tensing. And they're saying that not only – and they're calling him a Cincinnati cop. Okay, now understand he was a campus officer, and he was several blocks off campus when this thing happened. So what that tells me is his perspective is I'm above the law to some degree, and I can go where I want because I have a gun and a badge. And I think that's the overall perspective that we're dealing with in one area. The other perspective is I think based on a lot of this, some people are a little combative, but I think that there's something out there that has changed it, or maybe it hasn't, you know, that folks are getting – okay, let me say this.
I think folks have been
injured. It's not a new thing. It's just more published.
Let me tell you something. I remember when they used to have the kindergarten show-and-tell day and the first garden show-and-tell day, and first grade, and they used to ask you, what would you like to be when you grew up? And a lot of kids said, I'd like to be a cop. I'd like to be a police officer. And now, and they're like, would anybody like to be a police officer? No, they're bad. The general perception is that they're bad. And I believe that you have a lot of these people are just freaking power struck.
But isn't that what happens when you obtain power, though?
Are you with any societies, any clubs, or anything? And I'm like, well, wait a minute. They do a background check to see if you graduated high school, but they won't check to see if you're a member of the Ku Klux Klan, if you're not a member of White Pride International, if you're not a member of an Aryan Brotherhood, if you have family members that are committed to that. You are arming a man to govern over another man. Hell yeah, check into it. Might as well. You know, if you're a second too slow and you didn't make the time in 100, they kick you. You don't make it. You know.
Well, Trey, I get your point. But I think, you know, that's going to take us into another show, because what we're looking at is at the top. I mean, if the guy at the top is in the same club, it doesn't matter if the guy in the middle or the bottom is in that club, because he's already in the club. So you have to look at that. But I think we could dedicate a segment to that, because that's part of the issue. I'm not negating what you're saying. But my question becomes, what was that turning point that this became so prevalent? And I'm saying maybe perhaps it wasn't a turning point that these actions became more prevalent. I'm saying maybe they became more viewed by the public due to the advent of technology, and specifically all the cell phone video, and now they've got body cams. I don't think a lot has changed.
Let me attempt to answer that. I think when things started to change was really in the 60s. And maybe even a little bit before, if you look into, like, the history of the police and what their initial role was when they first, upon their first inception into this country. But the police have been hiring people fresh out of the military for quite some time now. And the military is not trained to police normal, average, everyday citizens. They're trained to kill. So they go into...
That sounds like an excuse.
I'm not saying that it's an excuse. I'm just saying, I'm in my opinion and from my studies, this is where I think the mentality and the shift has changed. I grew up in a small town, so... The police, the force there was very small, and individuals would come out to talk to you first before trying to arrest you and apprehend you and take you in. You know, they rarely had to use their guns, rarely. You know, fast forward to now, police are, you know, they have military-grade weapons. You as a natural citizen or as an average citizen won't even, you know, for the most part, you don't exercise your right to carry in this country, mainly because it's looked down upon.
Okay. Hold on. Do you know, amongst all these little fiascos that's been happening, only one of those officers had a military background. Only one.
I'm talking about
the ones
as a whole. I'm talking about
that
as a whole.
The ones that have made
as
the
a
news.
Whole.
Hold on. I feel you. But as those that have made the news, only one of them. This gentleman, this last character, this individual, this person, he just walked up, and I'm not even going to put his name out there. I'm not going to put the cop's name out there or the gentleman who unfortunately was killed. Because that just seems like we're being another part of the media that's adding to it. But here's the thing. Mm-hmm. The officer walks up to the gentleman, and I'm sure you're familiar with this story. He stops him. I think he's already stopped, actually. He walks over to his car. He looks at him, asks him what he's doing. I'm driving. The question was, what are you doing? I'm not doing anything. I'm driving. He puts both his hands outside of the car.
Okay.
He puts his hand back on the steering wheel. He's reaching for the lever on the steering wheel. Car is still in gear. The officer reaches across, and he says, "Do you have your? Where's your driver's license?" And he says, "Well, I can reach that. Don't reach there. Don't reach there." He said, "Well, I don't have it on me. I have to get it. I don't have it with me. But if you don't want him to reach for it." But you want him to provide it. What the fuck?
Why are you asking
really?
For it?
and that's the same scenario played out with not as fatal results. Gentleman in, I think it was North Carolina, I could be wrong, he comes up to a guy already stopped at the pump of a gas station. Ask him, where's your identification? And he says, is there something wrong? Give me your ID. He says, well, it's in my truck. Well, get your driver's license. So he reaches in, and the cop shoots six times, hitting him twice. And the guy said, you asked for my driver's license, it's in the truck. Why are you shooting at me? Not realizing he's been hit. This guy, this new one, he unholsters his gun and caps the man right in the head. The car comes out of gear. He goes to put, you could see what he's doing. And then he goes, his thing was, well, I wasn't really sure. He didn't appear to be complying. Sandra Bland, same damn thing. How do you tell a person to put out a cigarette in their car? And then his retort was, it's a possibility that she might have been able to use the cigarette as a weapon. What? Get back or I'll put my ashes on you. Give me a break. Listen, things have become exceptionally tolerable. Things you don't normally accept.
Why do you think that is?
Because everybody.
They don't do anything other than, you know, you should have. Here's the thing. You should have did something more than just take a video tape when it happened to Rodney King. You know, other things should have been done.
But what should they have done? Jump the cop. Listen,
I'm not saying jump the cop, but what I am saying is that you're a citizen. You do have the right to make a citizen's arrest if you see something going on happening out of pocket. You do have that right.
I agree. If you see something going on that's happening out of pocket
Here's the other thing. Things happen in very small increments. So if you see something, and you and I have had this conversation before, if you see something and you know in your heart of hearts that morally and spiritually it's not right and you don't say anything, then that's on you. Sooner or later, you're gonna get used to not saying something, and you become apathetic to it. And that's what
I think that's a valid point, Chris.
Has happened to this country.
I agree with you.
They don't say anything. They don't say anything. They don't do anything. All you do is take a video camera or take a videotape of it. You know, and hold on.
let me say this because I want somebody else's perspective. I know you're listening. I know you hear, and I know you got something that you'd like to say as well. Give us a call, 347-855-8662. That's 347-855-8662. Let us know what you feel. Let us hear your feeling, your opinion on this. And I'm sorry, Jay, you were about to say something.
Well, I was going to say I agree with Chris to the point of folks have gotten to the point where they don't say anything. And I found it very unnerving as a kid. As I was learning about when something's going wrong, there's a scenario, and I hate to use this horrible story, but it was one of my teachers, and then also my sister explained to me, she said, you know, in the event that someone's getting hurt or injured or raped, you don't yell rape, you yell fire. And I asked her, I said, why? She said, because people don't come when you yell rape. And I thought, how crazy has the world come to, or how crazy has the world become that you have to yell fire to get somebody help on another scenario. Okay, why not jump in? Why not say something? Why not bring somebody to it? But people have become that desensitized to the everyday activities of other humans that it's easy for them to see something and not care. I mean, think about how many times we've driven past somebody. We see them pushing a vehicle. We see them struggling. And because we have somewhere to go, we don't get out
and help them.
We're like, ooh, that looks like it's heavy.
Hold on.
And we keep driving.
I'm with you 100%, but here's something else too. We've also come to a time where people feel that they don't have to. There's this point of get over, and I'll explain it. Kid, 18 years old. People stop to pull over. This is real. They pull over to stop him in Wyoming. And they pull over to help him because he's on the side of the road. It's a husband and a wife and their daughter, who happens to be 26 years of age. She's in the hospital recovering, blah, blah, blah. the husband gets out, older gentleman. I think he's like 40, 42. Wife is older by like 5 years.
Wait, older gentleman? Come on now. I'm taking offense to that. I'm teasing. Go ahead.
He's a more seasoned individual. And so they stop to help him. And he asks for their money. They give out their money. He tells them to run and get off the road so he could leave, and he shoots them. And that's doing your civic duty. That's helping your fellow man.
But, and I can understand how your perspective,
I'm telling you, people have come to this point to where they believe everybody now is getting into a serious state of survival mode. Matters a damn. They go like this, you know.
And I can understand that, Trey. But here's where the issue of utilizing self-autonomy comes into play. You know, personally, I think every man, woman, and child in this country that's able to carry or bear some sort of arms should do so. Just to be able to,
Wild
West. I mean, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that one should, people are too busy texting and multitasking and doing other things rather than taking their own self-defense and things that, you know, things that self-preserve itself that doesn't infringe upon their fellow man, mind you, rather than taking that into their own hands. They look towards the police to do that for them. And I think in December of 2005, the Supreme Court ruled that the police don't have an obligation to protect you.
Well, you know, and I also think that if everybody's packing or carrying something, the stops that the police officers make will probably go a little bit differently.
Yes, they
That's
would.
Just my perspective. You know, because I know I got pulled over, and I'm driving to work as a teacher, and the cop pulls me over. Now, I was going a couple miles over because I was running a little late. I'm not trying to get out of that. But when he walked up to the window, he undid his holster and put his hand on his weapon. And I thought, I am armed with an ink pen and some business cards. Like, I don't pose any threat to this guy, but he felt, you know, that's procedure, whatever the case was. But that's what he did. Now, you know, I gave him my ID and all that stuff that he asked for. He gave me a warning. But my point is this. Had he come up to that car and I was packing and he was packing, I think it's a different scenario. I think maybe perhaps he'd have been like, it's only 3 miles over, not a big deal. Or he might have approached differently or whatever the case was, maybe a little less cocky. I don't know. But I think that what Chris, I think the over-encompassing point that you're making is about re-equalizing everything. Because if you have armed officers who have, let's say, as Trey mentioned earlier, maybe they have a little power struggle, power issue, whatever the case is. Maybe they were picked on in high school. I know some guys like that. Once they got positions of power, they really thought they were something. And I'm like, dude, you just run the IT department. Settle down. Okay? But they felt they were in power, so they abused it. It happens. But my thing is there's an unequal shift of power, and it's starting to become more prevalent, I think, because of this technological issue of, you know, having cameras available to everybody. So now we just see it more. But I know that stops will go differently. If I know this guy could be carrying anything from a pocket knife to a machine gun, and he was speeding, perhaps I'm going to come up and start with, hey, how's your day going,
And on that, I think that you will see that there will be some differences. I think you'll see there will be more shootings. And I'll tell you why.
That's possible, but I highly doubt it.
Listen, hold on. You know what? I'm one of the coolest fellas, period. I keep my cool. I'm not particularly fond of police officers that walk up and with an attitude already. I'm just not. You know, bad experience, no record, but a bad experience. A gentleman snatched me out of my car by my collar when I was 17 because I looked like someone else. And I was the passenger. And then when they found out, dude was 6'2", Hispanic male with a tattoo of a teardrop on his face. And I had to ask the officer, what the funk were you talking about? Here's my thing. If at that, in that frame of mind when I was younger, had I have been, and I was holding, and I've said this before, listen, I told an officer in Maricopa who grabbed me by my arm for no apparent reason, and I asked him, why did you stop me? And he asked me, could you get out the car? That was his first words to me. Not, how are you doing? Good morning. Hi, let me explain to you why I stopped you. Do you have your driver's license? He said, okay, could you get out the car? Could you get out the car? And I said, is there a problem, officer? Could you get out of the car? And I said, why am I being stopped? He said, just put both your hands out the window and get out of the car. And I said, is there an issue? Why am I being stopped? And I proceed to open my door, and he grabs me by my arm, and I said, why are you grabbing me? And I said, okay, listen, first, you didn't tell me why you stopped me. And I was defensive automatically. Matters of damn that he had a taser and a nightstick and a gun. I asked him, I said, first, you didn't tell me why you stopped me. I said, you came off exceptionally aggressive. It's still daylight. I mean, it's daylight, top of the morning. And you it appears you have an attitude. You got your hands on me, and I'm going to let you know, I'm taking this as an act of aggression. So what are you saying? I'm saying I'm taking this as an act of aggression. I think you should call another officer to be here. It didn't go the way I wanted it to go. He was put in check by the other officer that came, who was his superior, because he was wrong. And they still never read me my rights. They still didn't tell me what I was arrested for. And this is Gilbert. And it was a bad situation. Listen, I'm going to just drop these clues in because we're going to revisit this. If you're stopped by a police officer that might happen to have an aggressive position, and this is just something that we've picked up. One, don't be argumentative. Two, if he comes across, say, my apologies. Didn't mean to upset you. They'll realize. If the officer asks you to check your car, your person, anything to that effect, you don't have to let them do it. And without a warrant, it's your Fourth Amendment right. But under no circumstances should you just resist. There's other things that you can do. Feel free, give us a call. Next week we can revisit this. But your well-being, your safety takes precedent. And always stand up for what you believe in. And you don't have to be aggressive to do it. Leave that for the buttholes who decide they want to be that way. Hey, you know what? I just believe that, just like Chris said and just like Jay said, if we approach things from a more united front, we'll see better results. If you take more initiative to do more, then we'll have more or better results. Right now, the police are the big bully on the playground, and we actually know what happens to the bully on the playground at the end of the day, by the end of the school year, and it's coming up on the end of the school year. Something has to change. That's just my take.
Trey, I think, bro, that's a good closeout, and I want to interject something really, really small. I want to thank everybody for listening and mention that we finally got up to speed on Twitter. We are now at OnPointPHX, just so you know. So follow us, help us continue to build our listening audience, and Trey, if you'd like to take us out.
Hey, raise your glasses, bottoms to the top. Remember, every idea is grand. Every thought you have is warranted. And for every step you take and for every endeavor you make, may they always be on point. Gentle.
On point. See you next week.
Peace.
Peace.